Hey, beautiful souls, it's Lisa Stroda. I'm back. You're listening to the Holistic Life Coach Podcast. This interview with Alan Morrison of AM Guitar Works originally aired on my Tell Me Your Story podcast. I look forward to connecting with you on the Holistic Life Coach Podcast Facebook page and Instagram page. Alan and I talk about how and why he started his own business, what influenced him to pick up a guitar, and how to make money in the guitar biz. Welcome, Alan, to the Tell Me Your Story podcast. You play in a band, Identity Crisis, and you own your own business. Mm-hmm. And you have authored the book, How to Make Money in the Guitar Biz. Can you tell me about that and where it all began for you?
Okay, as far as music and everything, I grew up on a farm in southwest Iowa in Greenfield, and my parents were farmers, and my dad also owned a TV repair business, and I was always fascinated by electronics as well as music. As far as guitar, the first guitar, oh, by the way, my business name is AM Guitar Works, so it's a guitar shop here in Davenport, Iowa. We do lessons, mm-hmm. we sell instruments, and we do repair and customizing work. So I'm all about guitars and music. The first guitar that we got in my house was one that my dad got from the Green Stamp store because he wanted to learn to play guitar. And I kind of latched onto it. I was about 9 or 10 years old at that time. And then I got my first electric guitar of my own when I was 12. And that's when I got serious about it. I was self-taught because the nearest guitar teacher was 30 miles away from where we lived. But I learned where the notes and chords were from like method books and song books. But when I turned 16, I drove the 30 miles and took some lessons. And on my 7th lesson, my instructor told me he really couldn't show me anymore, but I should start playing with other people, like in a band. And he gave me the contact info for one of his other students who was looking for somebody to join their band, and playing with them really improved my skills.
That's great. And that's wonderful that your teacher told you that.
Right. I was kind of disappointed when he said, I'm not going to teach you anymore, because I was really enjoying the lessons, you know, and what he could show me. But he goes, if I keep giving you lessons, you'll just end up playing like me. So you need to find your own style.
That really says a lot about a teacher.
Yes.
And sometimes you have to go to another teacher. But that's really great that, you know, he said that. And so then you started playing with bands.
Yep. I've been playing in bands pretty much nonstop since I was 16. So that's over 40 years. My current band, Identity Crisis, we're on hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic right now. And also the past couple of years, I also played in an acoustic duo with a singer-songwriter, Rebecca Cassad. And that's on hiatus as well for the same reasons. And she also teaches ukulele and voice lessons here at my shop. I have been getting my musical outlet kind of going. I've been playing some curbside concerts with one of our other instructors, Alex Axup. And she also plays bass with a rock band called Fair Warning. And I've been asked to fill in on guitar with them a couple times, so for some outdoor stuff. So I've been able to do a little bit of playing music, but not with the frequency that it has been in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so where in all this did the inspiration or the idea come from, to start your own business?
Yeah, well, I've always been passionate about music and guitars. And from an early age, I thought it would be cool to make my living with music, whether performing or owning a repair and custom shop. You know, I started tinkering with guitars when I was in high school, or even a retail music store. And I did teach lessons during college in Creston, Iowa. And then after college, I worked in a music store in Atlantic, Iowa for a couple of years. So I learned, like, between those two places, I learned the internal workings of a retail store. But then I got married and needed more money, and I got into the corporate world for 22 years. But I was teaching guitar and doing repairs as a side hustle. In 1998, I started doing that. But then it just kind of snowballed.
Okay. So when you started your business, you were working out of your home versus the storefront at first?
Right. I was working out of my home part-time and doing my 8-to-5 job during the day. And it got to the point where I was coming home from my day job and working till 10 o'clock every night and all weekend long just to keep up with the work that I was getting, either teaching lessons or doing repairs. And so that was getting very stressful. Plus, the job that I had, I was in management with, in a high stress, time sensitive industry. And so I started getting motivated to get out of that job and do music. So I kind of decided the whole music thing would be my ticket out of the corporate world. So I launched a website that advertised my repairs and lessons. I networked. I took business cards to a lesson studio and some other music stores talking about my repair work and lessons. But I wasn't where I needed to be yet, even though I was getting all that work. But then I kind of thought, well, if I quit my job, I could focus on the business, but I wasn't ready to leave that security of a regular paycheck yet. But then I read a book called The Dream Giver, which kind of pushed me over the edge to go into the business full time. And the premise of that book is that we're all created for a purpose and that we're given a dream at an early age. And most people don't follow that dream, though. They kind of get into the routine of their careers. They have kids. They have their TV shows that they watch, et cetera. And they kind of forget that dream, you know? But the people that do pursue their dreams tend to be happy and have the satisfaction of doing what they love. And I believe in that concept 100%. So I had launched my website like in April, and by July, I was having a conversation with my wife that I either need to get out of the guitar business and focus on my day job, or I need to go full-time into the guitar business because I can't keep up the pace of doing both. And she's very supportive, and she said, let's set a date and figure out what we need to do to make it happen. And so this was in July of 2008. And we just decided, hey, let's just make a clean break. January of 2009, I'll be in the guitar business full time. And that's what happened.
Wow. And that's great that your wife is so supportive.
Right.
Yeah. And she's dreams and tech.
Yeah. She was a key part of the plan because at the time I was providing all of the benefits, you know, in health insurance and all that, because her job, right before all this happened, they had cut her back by 15 minutes a day, making her part-time employee where she was working and didn't allow her to get benefits. So one of the things that she had to do that was part of our plan was find a new job with benefits. And she goes, well, I don't want to do a job that I hate just so you can do what you love. And I didn't, of course, want that either. And she says these exact words. She said, God's going to have to hit me upside the head, you know, to find a job that I like. And I said, well, brace yourself, because I think it's going to happen. And she ended up getting a good job working with kids, which is what she loves, at a university, which also got our daughter free tuition for 4 years. So it was like worked out better than we could have ever planned it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe it. You could be praying for something and it works out better than you could have imagined. Even if you're going through something, some hard times, you think, how can this, I can't see how this could work out. How could I do this? And then God just, he sees all those working pieces that we don't see. So yeah,
exactly.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I know what you mean. So you had mentioned that you were in a corporate job with a high stress level. And way back in the day, say in the 1990s, the early 90s, I sold pianos for Baldwin.
Oh, you did? I did not know that.
Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah, and so I was at their store in the Lyric Opera House or Civic Opera House in downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. And we had piano studios there, and this teachers would come in, and we had business people come in on their lunch breaks to take lessons. And I remember, at first thinking, gosh, why would they do that? And one of the teachers says, I have a student who is, has this stressful job, and he comes in once a week for a half an hour, and he looks forward to just coming in. And he told me, I can just relax and not think about the business.
Yep.
And it just makes him happy. Just, he knows he's got that half an hour.
Sure.
Every
sure.
week.
Yeah. Music does a great job of relieving stress. I agree. I think a lot of adults maybe take lessons too, because maybe they're fulfilling part of a dream they had when they were younger. They might have wanted to always play guitar or whatever instrument, but they were busy with, sports or whatever. And now they're like 30, 40, 50 years old, and they're not playing football anymore. They need something else to, take up the time, and playing music is huge for that.
Yeah, I think it's a good, therapy. I mean, music therapy has been proven to help with stress and to, music is just, there's so many things that you can do through music, healing, learning, and it's really remarkable.
Yeah.
And,
I have a son who is a music therapist, so he makes his living with guitar as well. And he's at a nursing home up in Waverly. And, these people who have Alzheimer's or dementia that, for example, my son's grandmother, my wife's mother, is a resident at that nursing home, and she has Alzheimer's. She doesn't even realize that Nick is her grandson working there, but she knows that he's this nice young man that comes around and plays music for her. And so her memory is gone, but he'll start playing an old timey song and she'll start singing along with it every word. So there's, those memories are back
that connection
there.
Music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that connection that she has then with her grandson, even though she doesn't know who he is, that's something he's going to remember. I had my grandmother used to live with us back in the 90s, and she had dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's from Sicily, and she was known at work to sing. And they would ask her to sing. And my mom said, your grandmother used to sing around the house, all these Italian songs. And there was a time when she had started to forget and she didn't know who I was. And at that time, I was studying music over at Columbia College. I was studying voice. And I had gone to Italy to study opera. And so I had come back And one day she just looked at me and said, "I don't know who you are." I said, "You don't?" And she's, and I said, "Oh, come on, you know who I am." She says, "No, I'm sorry, I don't." Yeah. So I just said, I said, "Oh, sole mio." And she said, "Stai frontate." And she says, "You're Lisa." I said, "Yes, I am." Yep. Yep. So yeah, it's
made the connection
how
to music.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It is just, it's just a phenomenal way to communicate.
Exactly.
I think. And even with children, teaching them things. And I think that people don't realize that you can use that to communicate, or that you're learning something through music. And like you said, you will remember things from years ago that, that, you know, you didn't think you would remember. But yeah, it's that music that, that brings back those memories.
Right, right.
And so, yeah. So I think that's go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, no matter what age you are, like, learning to play music has so many benefits. Even for, you know, kids through adults, you're improving your cognitive skills, your fine motor skills, hand-eye coordination. You're developing your ear training and listening skills and learning math skills. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list just goes on. And then if you join a band or play with other musicians, you learn, like, teamwork and cooperation. So I think it's a overall great thing to learn how to play a musical instrument, no matter how old you are.
And what do you find that the reasons, what are the reasons the kids take music lessons? I know, I remember I started out on the organ when I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just, I thought it was cool. My aunt and uncle had an organ. She was playing it. And then they had to get rid of it, and I asked if I could have it, and then started taking lessons. But like, would it, do you think there's a family, like a family influence that, you know, where kids will see a relative play an instrument, and that's how they get into it, or is it a school band, or
There's various reasons.
They just want to be like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I think kids want to take lessons. I think the main reason they want to take lessons is because it's fun. Their friends or family members might be learning to play an instrument, and they want to be a part of that. My first impression of the guitar probably was, I don't know how old I was, maybe 7 or 8. And one of my distant relatives, like my dad's cousin or something, lived in Texas, was at my great aunt's house in my hometown. And he brought a guitar and was playing it in the living room. And I thought, well, that's really cool. I might like to do that someday. And funny story, last summer, I got an email from him. I had no contact with him since that day in the living room. I got an email from him. I think he talked to my dad or something and found out that I was in the guitar business. And I must have mentioned to somebody at some time that he kind of inspired me. And so anyway, he said, "We're coming through Iowa and I'd like to stop and talk to you." So he also, the very guitar that he was playing that day, he wanted to sell it, and I do consignment sales. So he asked me to sell that guitar for him on consignment. So he brought it here, and I got to see it. And we took a picture of ourselves, you know. So anyway, I ended up getting reacquainted with him and selling the guitar to someone. It ended up selling online somewhere. So I think it went back to Texas somewhere, but that was just a really cool thing.
Yeah. It's like it came full circle.
Exactly.
The way. Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Wow. And with the business, did you, and how are you working with doing lessons, in-person lessons? Mm-hmm. Have you had to transition to Zoom lessons, or can you still do in-person lessons
so
with this pandemic?
Yeah. So with the pandemic, you know, our business, I would never wish a pandemic on anybody, but our business actually thrived during the pandemic and still continues to do so. We transitioned all of our students to virtual lessons in mid-March. And that was a hard step for me to take because, you know, I had done in-person lessons all my life, and I'm not a person who deals with change very well. But one of our instructors, her mom is a healthcare worker, and her mom called me and said, "You guys, you need to do virtual lessons. Otherwise, you know, you could lose all your students, or you could spread coronavirus, or, you know, all this." So I thought about it, and so that was over the weekend. And on Monday, when I got back into work, I started like putting a message together for all of us to send to our students saying we were going to transition to virtual lessons. And while I was putting that message together, I started getting phone calls from my students saying, "Hey, we're going to hold off for a while." And I said, hold on. Don't leave yet. We're going to do something different. And we had four instructors with around 60 students combined. At the time, I think we lost maybe three students at the very beginning that just said, "I'm not doing virtual," but we've gained 25 students since then. So we're up to 85 students now.
Wow.
And, Yeah. And what is really cool, for me to think about is that through my business, myself and three other people, and for the other three instructors, lessons are like their main source of income, or at least a good chunk of their income, depending, you know, on which instructor we're talking about. But through me kind of keeping things rolling and getting ahead of the curve, they were still able to make good money. And, and so I feel really good about that. If it had gone the other way, then I would have lost income for myself and for those other three instructors. So, you know, and one instructor I had just brought on, and she had four students, and now she's got 26. She's got as many students as I do now. And so
that's wonderful.
So, yeah.
I mean, I've been really surprised when talking to people, which businesses have thrived during the pandemic, and some that I thought would have, haven't.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's wonderful, though. And it's great that you were prepared for that question when they said, you know.
Right.
That they weren't, they were going to drop off, and you said, "No, hold on. I've got, you know, something in the works here."
Right.
And that's good business acumen.
Right.
I mean, that's great that you were able to grow through through the pandemic and find more clients, more students.
Yeah. And so then what happened? So my shop has two lesson rooms is all we have. But, and with the growth that we've had through lessons, right now we couldn't all teach in person at the same, you know, with our current schedules, but we've moved to a hybrid system. And so, starting in July, Alex and myself, decided we would, you know, let our students come in and do in-person lessons if they wanted to. As far as my students go, I would say most of my students are still doing virtual lessons. On the days where I have 6 to 8 students scheduled, the most I see in a day is 3 in person. And then, so that was July. And then our other two instructors, they live with healthcare workers. So they've been very, very careful and are kind of easing into it now. In August, Ben said, I'll come in one day a week and teach in person. And just this month, he's expanded that out to a couple other days, but he's kind of handpicking the students. And then Rebecca, starting this month, she is coming in and teaching a few students after hours, after the store is closed, when she has the place to herself. So it's everybody on our team has their own comfort and risk level, I would say. And we all respect each other's comfort levels as a team. And it's actually working well because it's given us capacity to grow our business and grow our student base. So that's how that's been working out. And then also, as long as we're on the subject of the pandemic. So in April, Governor Reynolds shut down several types of businesses, and music stores were specifically included in that. And so I had to send my limited staff that I had home, and I shut down the repair part of the business. If people would call about repairs, I just said, I'll put you on a waiting list. But during the month of April, my business transitioned into a one-man musical instrument warehouse / online store. I sold 44 instruments, about half guitars and half ukuleles, and I either delivered them to people's doorstep, or I shipped them, or I curbsided them outside the door of the shop. And that's an unprecedented number of instrument sales for 1 month. And it's actually April was our highest revenue month this year, and we haven't been able to beat it since. So, so yeah, so I was working by myself doing all this, and I was still teaching, you know, around 30 students virtual lessons. And while I would be teaching, I would be getting messages from people who, or phone calls from people who wanted lessons, or they wanted to buy a guitar, or, you know, so I would teach till 7 o'clock, and then I'd spend the next hour responding to all those messages. And while it was all good things happening, it was exhausting and it was stressful. So in May, when they kind of let things open back up a little, I called Alex and I said, I need you to come in and work tomorrow. This place is a mess. I need some help here. And so she came in and she worked with me the whole month of May. Just her and I, and she would call people from the repair waiting list, and then she would go out and get them curbside and deliver them curbside, and she would ship our online orders and stuff. So, yeah. And then in June, I brought on a second employee that had been quarantined. So I had two of them working because I didn't want to burn Alex out. So Madison came back to work for me. And so that was May and June. And then now it's getting back to seeming more normal. One of my other employees that it's actually Rebecca's younger sister, Renee, she came back a couple weeks ago to start working for me again. So it's good to see her back and working again. So the team, we're never all here at once, you know, like how it used to be sometimes. But so I kind of miss that. But we're going to have a get together outdoors later on this month out on my deck of my house and just catch up with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. That I think, you know, the camaraderie and connection with our, you know, our fellow employees and friends is really, it's what we need. And I know what I miss.
Right.
And that's part of a business working, you know, smoothly. And mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds fun. And I know you mentioned Rebecca, and she started working at your at AM Guitar Works. And I know she has come out with a CD. And can you talk a little bit about how she started writing songs and you performing together?
Sure. Yeah, it's a cool story. She started with me as a student when she was 15. And she had always been a singer. Her dad was a musician, and he actually passed away from cancer shortly before she came to me as a student. She wanted to learn to play an instrument so she could sing along with it, because he was always her accompanist. And so anyway, we tried guitar, and then one day I put a ukulele in her hands and she just took off. So she was also taking voice lessons from another place, and they did a thing down in LeClaire Park where at a music festival where they had those students get up and perform. So she got up with her ukulele and sang a couple songs, and she has this awesome voice. And I told her the next day in her lesson, I said, "Rebecca, there's two things. One is you need to perform as often as possible, because you have this awesome voice that and your own style. And number two is you need to start writing your own music. Start writing your own songs, because it'll open up more doors for you." And she's like, "I don't know how to write a song." And I said, "Well, I'm going to help you." I said, "Let's look at a song that I wrote." And so I pulled up a song that I had written back in the 90s. And we talked about what makes a good song, like rhyming and alliteration. And I said, the main thing a song should do is to make you feel something, whether it's sad or happy, angry or funny or whatever, but it should make you feel something. And so I said, "I want you to come back to your next lesson with either a verse or a chorus or a chord progression or something that we can build on to a song." So the next week she came back with a verse and a chorus to a song called "Accident Prone." And it's it's a funny song. It's one of those.
Yes,
like,
it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like it. I have it on my phone. So.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. If that's her first song she writes, it's like, okay, this girl's got something. So, we sat down and, I was listening to her play it and sing it on her ukulele. And I thought, I'm going to add a bass line to this song, because a ukulele is a high pitched instrument and she has a high pitched voice. So let's round out the sound with bass. So I grabbed my bass and I came up with a bass line to the song. And then she would come back like every week with a new song or a part of a song. And I would either add a bass line or a guitar part to it, whatever I felt would fit best. And then it got to the point where she goes, "You're going to play guitar on this one." And so we started like opening up for like a battle of the bands type thing at Rock Academy. We couldn't compete because I was an adult. But we would be like the opening act. And then we got a gig at a coffee shop in North Park Mall, where they asked us to come in every Friday and play for 2 hours. So we did that. And the whole time she's like writing new material. And when she got up to 10 really good songs, I said, "We need to record these, because I don't want these to just disappear. You know, this is really good stuff." Mm-hmm. And so we sat down, and had a meeting. We went to Zeke's Island Cafe, and she brought her laptop, and we had dinner and put together a plan on how we would pay for this CD release. And while we were there, the owner came in, and he had seen us like just goofing around one time at Alternating Currents Festival. AM Guitar Works had a booth there, and her, she and I were like just doing our thing that we did in lessons, just playing music. And he saw us there, and he asked us to start performing there for Sunday brunches. So we did that for a while too. And we ended up getting a booking agent just from wanting to play at one place. I knew the owner, and he goes, well, we go through a booking agent. So he put us in touch with his booking agent, and he started booking us all over. And last year, Rebecca and I played 44 shows together, which is a crazy schedule considering everything else that we're both involved in. So, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I miss playing music with her right now because we're not able to. So,
well, I was fortunate enough to hear the both of you at Ignite Quad Cities, the at Open Coffee. And for listeners who aren't familiar with that, it we would meet at 8 o'clock in the morning in downtown Davenport, and it was a group for entrepreneurs, and it was for networking, and Alan had something to do with that. Putting all that together.
How that kind of came to be. I had started going to Entrefest back in 2010, which is a business conference for Iowa business owners and entrepreneurs. And one year I met a guy named Pete Fry there and found out he was from the Quad Cities as well. And he called me up one time and said, hey, I'd like to start like an open coffee group where, you know, business owners and entrepreneurs can just get together and bounce around some ideas or maybe have a topic or something that we want to talk about. And I, he goes, would you be up for that? And I said, I would love to do something like that. Because when you're a business owner, sometimes you feel kind of isolated. You know, you have a lot of decisions that you have to make, and you, it's not like you have anybody above you, a boss that you can call and say, hey, what do you think about me doing this? You're kind of on your own. So it was nice to have other people to, you know, bounce ideas off of or get their input or ask them their opinion on something. And so we started the group. There were 9 people at the first one, and it was just kind of traveled from one coffee shop to another, like every other week. And then, the Chamber of Commerce got involved in it, and they started sponsoring it. And we started meeting at Cowork QC in downtown Davenport, and the group grew, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 people at a time. Would you say showed up?
Yeah. Yeah. It was just packed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. And so that, and that was a good run. We had topics and things like that. So, at some point the Chamber decided to move on to other projects. And so that, that kind of got disbanded, but there's a small group of us that are still meeting. We started meeting at the Cowork QC because one of the members of our group has a membership there. And since the pandemic, we've been meeting on Zoom calls, but we call it, instead of open coffee, we call it covert coffee now. So
great but name.
The, yeah. Perfect. Yeah. And the cool thing is like, there's a wide variety of people, and we've all kind of become customers of each other, kind of, or some of us anyway. Like one of our members is a, he does contractor type work, like building stuff. And in July and August, he spent most of his time at my house remodeling a bathroom. And while he was remodeling the bathroom, my wife started talking to him about hey, we've wanted a deck for a long time. And before I knew it, she was telling me, hey, there's going to be like some gravel poured in our driveway because we're going to build a deck. I said, I thought that was down the road, like not right after we just finished this major thousands of dollars project. And but yeah, so now we have a nice bathroom and a brand new deck. And while all this was going on, Dave signed up his, he came in and bought a guitar, an amplifier for him and his son to share. And they started taking guitar lessons here. And then they hired Alex and me to come to their house and play a curbside concert for their neighborhood. And
wow, that's one.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. And then we've got that cleaning couple. That's the name of their business. They're part of that group. They now clean my house on, you know, they come in once a month and do a deep clean on my house. And my daughter's house, she found out about them through me. And we haven't signed them up for guitar lessons yet. I think they're too busy. But, you know, we're all like supporting each other. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that I have met so many creative people motivated people, people who, you know, who go into business for themselves. Mm-hmm. I think have to have, you know, a confidence, a motivation, you know, to do that. And
right.
I have found that going to open coffee and talking to other entrepreneurs has kept me motivated.
Right.
With my business. And that is just, and now that you're continuing to do that and support each other through the pandemic, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So now what's the best place to find you on social media? If someone wants to learn more about you and AM Guitar Works and lessons.
Sure. Yeah. The best place where we spend most of our time is on Facebook. And it's just AM Guitar Works is our Facebook page. And I try to post something every day to that page so that people know what's going on. I think that's important to keep your name out in front of people. And I try not to be real salesy in those posts, you know, but I just post what we do here, you know, and we do so much. We do repair and customizing work. So we get a lot of cool before and after pictures, or like last week, one of my projects was one of my longtime customers. He brings me a box of parts, guitar parts, and says, here, make this into a guitar for me. So those are always fun. And he does his own artwork on the guitars before he brings them to me. So they're like all unique, you know, pieces of art besides being a musical instrument. We like to post pictures like when somebody comes in and buys a new instrument, you know, we will ask, you know, if the parents, hey, is it okay if we take a picture of them with their new instrument and put it on our Facebook page? Some want to, some don't, and we don't force it, but it's always cool to say, hey, look at, you know, Johnny got a new guitar today, or Quinn got a ukulele. And it just, I think it's really exciting. Also, I like to do a lot of pictures of our team members, like doing their thing, working on guitars, or even just like grabbing a guitar and, you know, say a new one that we get, and let's go stand in front of these pretty bushes and take a picture of you with this new guitar to announce its arrival or whatever. You know, it's just, I think we get more response when we have people in the pictures than just if we just take a picture of a guitar. Here's this guitar, you know? So, that's what you'll find on our page.
Well, thank you, Alan, for joining me today.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. It was good chatting with you.
Thank you for listening to the Holistic Life Coach Podcast. I look forward to connecting with you on the Holistic Life Coach Podcast Facebook page and Instagram page. Until next time, beautiful souls.